You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
All right, guys, welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. I'm excited for this one. This is going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if this will be, this might be a short episode, but I'm very excited about it nonetheless. I got a couple podcasters and friends to come along with me on this ride. Now, I'm a big, like, horror kind of Halloween fanatic, and these guys know that for sure, and a lot of regular listeners will know that. But in the month of October, I can't focus on anything else. I'm just all horror and Halloween and spooky, and it's just my time of year, man. I love it. As soon as October 1st rolled around, I started dropping Halloween-themed stuff on our feed. So I'm excited to get this one recorded, which is also going to come out this month in October. We're going to be talking about our top five songs for Halloween time. So it's music, songs that you would love to hear in October. And let me introduce who I have invited to come along for this fun journey with me. Let's say hello first to a gentleman that's been on once before, and he's just a lot of fun, man, and I had to have him back, and it will not be the last time. But let's say what's up to Imran, who you can find on the Jock and Nerd podcast, among many other things. Imran, what's up, brother?
What's up, Gerald? Thanks for having me back. I'm super excited to celebrate the month where chocolate is cheap and slutty costumes are acceptable for a few days. You know, yeah. You can get by. I have a conspiracy theory why they push back. You know how they push back the daylight savings times to just after October?
Sure, yeah.
I think it was the candy lobby forced this to make the kids trick-or-treat during the day so they could sell more candy. Prove me wrong, Internet.
Yeah, you might be onto something there. By the way, thank you for wearing a slutty costume tonight. We're on video chat.
This old thing? This is my nightgown. I forgot I had this.
You're looking good, man. Thanks for being here, though, brother. I really appreciate it, as always. And then this guy's been on a couple times, and I've actually been on his show a couple times. And then not only that, we've actually guested on other shows together. We just can't get enough of each other, but he's out there on the West Coast. You can find him on Podstalgic. He also does a podcast recently about the Cobra Kai television program, which I unfortunately have not seen yet because I don't have YouTube Red, but I'm a big Karate Kid fan, so I can't wait to. But let's say what's up to Peter from Podstalgic. Peter, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? You know, I'm just as creepy as you are. I even have my Asian unicorn costume on.
Looking good, man. Looking good.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for being here. I'm happy to have you guys, especially for this list. I feel like it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, and I just want to have fun with it. So again, just to give everybody a little insight, we're doing our top five songs for Halloween time. Not really any criteria beyond that. It's just a song that these guys would throw on their playlist this time of year. And there's definitely a couple on my list that are very Halloween specific, but for the most part, it's just if I was making a playlist, these would be the top five or the first five songs I would put on that playlist. How did you guys go about it? Imran, did you do kind of like a fun approach, or did you do a spooky, creepy approach, or did you just, this is just what I listen to every October?
It was a mix. I had to put in, a couple of songs came right to mind.
Okay.
I had to put in a hip-hop song because I'm a huge hip-hop fan.
No spoilers. And no spoilers, by the way.
No spoilers. Sorry. But it's a mix of, like, you know, Halloween-themed songs and then just songs that remind me of doom and gloom and have crazy lyrics that you're like, this is not pleasant.
I got you. And what about you, Pete? Did you go the fun kind of, you know, teeny bopper route, or are you kind of like creepy hiding in the shadows? What are you doing over there?
You know, a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I tried to avoid some that were a little too on the nose, but then I have a couple, I would say at least a couple that are little on the nose. So, man, I tried try to restrict myself, so that way I can have like a great playlist of great songs, but I couldn't do it. There's really no rhyme or reason to why certain songs are on this list.
Sure.
I tried coming up with a theme of some sort and it wasn't working. So I was just like, you know what? Whatever.
I get it. I'm excited to see what you guys came up with. And I'm also wondering if we'll have any crossover. I think at least one song is going to cross over with
possibly everyone,
but
I try not to be cliche also, but sometimes you just have to because the song is so great. But yeah,
right.
It's going to be a couple of unique picks.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys. So our top five songs for Halloween time for the month of October. Let's get started with Imran. Imran, give us your number five, brother. What do you got over there?
Well, look, I love scaring children. Let's just put that out there. I do that all year round. If you've seen me, I look like a furry, but I'm not wearing a costume. That's my face, people. That's my facial hair. I look like this all the time. Oh. My number five, I'm going with Bad Moon Rising by CCR from 1969's album Green River. Here's why. Have you ever read the lyrics? Have you listened to it's a great melody, great tune, but if you actually listen to the lyrics, Fogerty's all doom and gloom on this one. He's like, don't go outside, you're gonna die, basically is the message of this song. But what I find, like, the historical significance of this is amazing. In 69, the year Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, Martin Luther King was assassinated, he's like, I see a bad thing coming right on the... And you know what? The song, it still rings true today. These exact lyrics are completely relatable and the same thing's happening kind of right now.
It's a great tune, man. I love CCR just in general. Fogerty's voice is just one of those raspy just voices from the 60s and 70s that are just like a magnet, you know? I mean, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? I mean, just a great voice. And Bad Moon Rising is a great tune. I've got about 15 to 20 here on my list, and that, for some reason, that one didn't make it onto my list here, but I do love CCR, and I love the pick, man. CCR, Bad Moon Rising, number five.
I love that he got sued by himself and then won. That's the best part.
That's like a little Halloween treat there, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. All right, well, good pick. Good way to get us started there. Pete, you want to get going, man, with your top five? What's your number five, buddy?
My number five, you know, I am a movie guy, so I tried to sprinkle some songs from movies in here as well. I think this one, I don't want to say well known, but for those that are familiar with this particular movie, will know this song. It's a song by Gerard McMahon, Cry Little Sister, from the Lost Boys soundtrack.
Lost Boys, absolutely, yeah. I went to see this. I got a little anecdote, then I'll let you talk about why you love it. But I went to see a vintage screening of that at my Alamo Draft House locally a few months ago. And when the credits came on and the song played, the whole movie theater was singing the lyrics.
It was giving me chills.
It was a really cool experience. But they're all just like singing the chorus, and it was really cool. But yeah, go ahead. So, Cry Little Sister. Why'd you pick that one, brother?
Well, one of the scariest things about certain horror movies is little kids, and you got a freaking chorus of little kids singing the chorus, you know, so it's really creepy.
That's true, yeah.
But you take that aside, I think it's a very melodic song, and it's just a very nice, mellow song, I think, you know, and just the fact that it ties into The Lost Boys, and you got vampires and darkness, Kiefer Sutherland, it's just dark, you know, so
I agree.
Love me some Cry Little Sister. Now, your experience in the movie theater there, did people bust out, like, the lighters or phones or anything like that?
Not that I recall. It was auditory, but that would have been cool, though, especially the cell phones. I don't know how they would have taken to the lighters. Do people carry lighters anymore? I don't feel like that's a thing.
Those that smoke, I'd imagine.
I guess. Yeah, those that smoke probably do.
You gotta light something. Yeah, you gotta light your cigarette, your spliff with something. It's not gonna light itself.
That's right. I do live in Oregon. Things are legal here.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, guys, let me give you my number five. So, you know, I don't think people are going to typically think of this song as a Halloween song. I don't think it was written for that. I don't think that's what it was intended to be. And I don't really think that the majority of the population, maybe yourselves included, would consider it. But when I listen to the lyrics and when I hear kind of the creepy factor that's kind of the ominous factor that's incorporated into the song. On top of that, being one of my favorite rock bands to come out of the 90s, Imran and I discussed 90s grunge not too long ago. This is not a grunge band, but they are in 80s, 90s, and really through today, one of the best heavy metal bands. But it's a song by Metallica called Enter Sandman.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
From 1991, and that is my number five. I mean, you know, I'll just give you some of the lyrics here. Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. You know, we're off to never, never land.
The beast, creepy.
Yeah, the beast is under your bed, in your closet, in your head. You know, exit light, enter night. I mean, it's just, it's a song about a nightmare. I mean, you know, it's a child living a nightmare. And it's just kind of describing a nightmare within a children's dream. So it's a creepy tune, man. I mean, if you listen to the lyrics, and I've heard kind of covers of this song that are very melodic and acoustic, and it's even creepier. You know, at least Metallica has kind of the hard guitars and stuff they kind of hide behind. But I don't know. I mean, do you guys think of this song ever when Halloween rolls around, or is it just me?
It might be just you, but yeah. I see why. I see why you chose it. I think it's a great song, and five is a little low. Like, yeah. Is that right? Low. So if you have this at number five, I'm curious to see what you got 4 through 1, because that's a pretty damn good song.
Yeah, it's a good tune. Imran,
that riff is dark. It's a dark riff. Like, you think of that riff and you just immediately think of, like, extreme contrast, black and white in the shadows, somewhere scary in a house. Like, that's a great pick. It makes total sense.
Right. Yeah. I've had Halloween parties in the past, and me and my sister used to share a residence together. It's been about 10 or 15 years, but we used to have Halloween parties every year. And one of my favorite things was to just get really unique and creative with a playlist. And just put stuff on there, and then people at the party would be like, man, I never thought of this to be at a Halloween party, but this makes sense. And I've actually got at least one more of those coming up later on my list, too, that you might not think of, but I always kind of think of it when October rolls around. So anyway, Enter Sandman, my number five. That rolls us back around to Imran for your number four, buddy.
That's actually a really good segue. How you said the song is about madness and dipping into madness. When you told me this top five, this was the first song that came to mind. I am a huge old school hip hop fan. Mm-hmm. And immediately I thought of My Mind Is Playing Tricks on Me.
Oh, good one, man.
By the Ghetto Boys.
Absolutely.
1991,
man.
Back when hip hop was good and you could understand the words. I sound like an old man. Get off my lawn and stop mumbling, you kids.
Yeah, those were.
What's the matter with you? Enunciate your goddamn lyrics.
Yeah, those were the days. Yeah.
But, dude, you got from the We Can't Be Stopped album, of course, Scarface, Bushwick Bill, Willie D, each getting a verse over an Isaac Hayes sample. Mm-hmm. And the song is about, it's a pain and anguish. It's a portrait of a mental illness, PTSD, amazing storytelling. You know, Bushwick Bill in his verse even says, he talks about how they were trick-or-treating on Halloween and they came up upon this 8-foot guy and they all jumped him and started beating him. And then he looks around and his friends are gone and the guy's gone and his hands are bloody from punching up the concrete, and it wasn't even close to Halloween.
Wow.
He was just tripping.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating. Robbing little kids for bags till an old man got behind our ass. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. He'd be in for a squabble, no doubt. So I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth. He was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as fuck on the streets. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Goddamn, homie.
My mind is playing tricks.
But I found out originally this was a Scarface song. Scarface wrote this for himself because he loved to do a little cocktail of downers, shrooms, and weed. Mm. Made him a little paranoid, probably. Mm. Why he thought his mind was playing tricks on. And then later, right after this, Bushwick Bill shoots himself in the eye, and it's on the cover of their album. Like, this whole Ghetto right. Boys group, like, this is, they started like horrorcore. Remember, there was a little horror, rap horrorcore thing in the mid-90s, and this is like the very early, like, this was a scary, disturbing fucking song, and I love it.
Yeah, no, that's a good tune, man. Go ahead, Peter.
I agree. Yeah, great song. You know, I don't know if I'm fit for this episode. I don't have all these cool anecdotes with these songs. So I just like, oh yeah, you know, Cry Little Sister from a movie.
I saw this movie once. I think it was in October.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a good pick.
That's a good segue for you then, Pete. What do you got, man? What's your number four?
Well, on the topic of movies still, and I like how Ghetto Boys got a little love there. I'm going to stay in the rap genre. I am a kid of the 80s and also 90s. And one of the biggest things in my childhood was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm-hmm. And so I got at number four, A Nightmare on My Street.
Gonna be on my list. That's a great cheesy song.
It's on my honorable mentions. That's a great. I almost put it at number five. That's a good song, man. Go ahead. Why do you love it?
Well, Will Smith is telling you a story. Basically, it's a Halloween episode of Fresh Prince. You know, that's why I love it. You know, he even talks to jazz at the very end of the song. And it samples, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street as well. And I think he even got sued for sampling. Yeah, and they settled out of court.
They were going to use it in the movie. They were,
Nightmare on 4.
They didn't.
Yeah, they didn't.
Ah. Yeah, and then they got sued, and he had to put on there, you know, not an official song from this motion picture. Right. But, you know, it's Freddie chasing him. That is great. That's such a great. He's another great storyteller. His early stuff from He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper.
That's right.
Great stuff.
Yeah, so, and also, I guess I didn't know it, but I have a little love for the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. Tom from Jake and Tom Conquer the World joined me on my show last year, and we did the entire series. Awesome. And I told him before we started it, oh, you know, I've probably seen like a couple of these movies. And after reviewing every single one of them, I remembered like bits and pieces from every single movie. So apparently I'm some kind of closet Nightmare fan, you know, so.
No, I love, I mean, Michael Myers is my shit, but I do love Freddy and the Nightmare series, and that song was just a lot of fun. I mean, I remember it was like an homage to Nightmare on Elm Street at the time.
Yeah.
But it was so lighthearted and fun at the same time. I want to say it went to like the top 10 on the Billboard charts, which was kind of crazy, being that it was really a Halloween specific tune. But
15.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, look at you knowing things, Gerald.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Every once in a while it happens. I don't know.
I mean, I guess they don't call you G-Funk for nothing, right?
So that's a good one, man. That's on my honorable mentions, but that's a great song. Let's see. My number four is one that is definitely Halloween. It is Halloween specific. It was obviously written for also a film, but it was written for the season, and it really captures the season from the very beginning of the song to the end. Every lyric is perfect. The music is so well produced. It's one of my favorite just movies in general, but it's definitely one of my favorite in the animation world. It's from A Nightmare Before Christmas, This is Halloween, which is sung by the town, Halloween Town, but it's Danny Elfman's music from The Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Halloween is my number four.
That's a great song. I thought of that too. And like the chorus is so catchy. You hear the word Halloween and he just starts singing the chorus. And I love Tim Burton's aesthetic and his design on that movie. That counts. And like, that's a song. Like, you know, you could have picked like the score from a horror movie, but that's a legit song. It's a great song.
You know, Andy and I are going to be discussing. This is probably going to air after the one I'm about to mention, so I think it's okay. But Andy and I are going to be discussing our top five movies to watch at Halloween time. And I haven't made the list yet, but I'm almost certain that The Nightmare Before Christmas will be in my top five, because I do watch that every year with both of my children. And it's something kind of the whole family can enjoy at Halloween time and at Christmas time. And
I was going to say, it works. It covers two. It's brilliant. It covers two holiday seasons. Right. Mm-hmm. Genius move. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town,
we call home. Everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Found that common man hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting there to pounce and how you'll scream.
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
And slimy green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine. Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice. Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Tim Burton screams creepy to me too, and
always.
And really, yeah. So does Danny Elfman's music for the most part. So, and the lyrics are great, just describing Halloween Town. So, this is Halloween's my number four from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack. I'll kind of spoil it, but it was on my list. Mm-hmm. But you know, you've been kind of posting up on the social medias, asking for people's, you know, list as well. And I keep seeing it pop up. I'm like, oh man, now I kind of want to take it off the list because it's going to be mentioned so many times. But great song.
Yeah,
great movie too.
It's one of those that is just is on, you know, 7-8 out of 10 people's list probably just because it's this is Halloween. You know what I mean? So if you're making a Halloween playlist,
is that a Halloween song? I mean,
I know, right?
Is this a Christmas song? Wait a minute.
I mean, it's a Christmas movie. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe there's a Flag Day song on that soundtrack. Okay. All right, let's see. We're up to our number threes. Is that right? So let's see. Imran, what's your number three, man?
Number three is a song that's been covered by lots and lots of people. And it is I Put a Spell on You.
Good one. What version? You what know, version do you like?
Well, look, famously covered by CCR and Marilyn Manson. And I'm going original Screaming Jay Hawkins from 1956. Because Screaming Jay puts the scream in Screaming Jay. If you've ever seen him do this, he's literally screaming. There's a video of him on, this is the weirdest video you'll ever watch, the Arsenio Show with Emo Phillips.
I didn't know that.
And Screaming Jay doing this song. He's got a bone in his nose and a skull cane, and he comes out of a coffin, and the song is just like so disturbing and scary. You gotta love it. I love all the covers. I do love the CCR cover, but the original, I mean, this guy's like your first shock jock musician. Yeah. You know, you could see how he inspired people like Marilyn Manson and Gwar and people who just do crazy shit on stage. Screaming Jay did it first.
Yeah, I got to put a spell on you on my honorable mentions. However, and I made a note off to the right because I was going to mention it later if no one else did, that it was Screaming Jay that, you know, really obviously invented that. But one of the, I just love the cover that Nina Simone does of that song.
Oh, that's really good too.
Oh
yes.
My God, dude. It's like she's in front of you just hypnotizing you. You know, you're just,
she's also possessed in that song with her delivery. Nina is great. The CCR is great. And then just, you got to hear him scream like a maniac. You're like, what is going on? Is he all right?
Yeah.
It's
so funny that you actually mentioned that too, because I DJ weddings a lot, and I just had one last weekend, and they wanted a couple kind of spooky tunes in there, and that was one of the ones that they really wanted to hear, and the crowd just loved it. I mean, they just ate it up, and they did this whole line dance to it, and it was really cool. I had recently got to see that, so that was a lot of fun, but that's a great tune, man, and there are so many good covers of that song too, so good pick, man. I like it. Let's see. Petey Pablo, you're up, right? What's your number three, man?
My number three is also I Put a Spell on You.
Ooh.
Oh, snap. Look at that.
So I said I was a 80s, 90s kid, but I grew up on my dad's music before I was able to watch MTV. So I have an appreciation from everything from the 50s through the 80s. I grew up on CCR, and I Put a Spell on You was the first version I heard. But obviously every year we watch Hocus Pocus in this household, and so I'm used to the Bette Midler version.
Yeah.
But sure. But I'm going to go with the CCR version because I love their music.
Yeah. Two CCRs.
Isn't that the one? Yeah, dude, CCR rocks. Isn't there like a sick long version with a guitar solo, his CCR guitar solo?
Oh yeah, I bet.
That, oh my God, that solo is amazing. There's like two songs where they're like 7 minutes and he just goes off on, I love his guitar tone. Like you talked about his voice, but just the tone of his guitar also so distinctive and recognizable instantly.
Now, I thought we'd have some crossover, but I didn't expect two different CCR songs. I got to be honest.
Right?
Yeah. CCR, man. I mean, cool, just though. A lot of great songs. Fortunate Son.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, all of them.
They're great. Great band.
Just a great catalog. I agree. All right. So I'm going to give you my number three. Now, this song, guys, ironically, it is a cover, the specific one that I'm putting on my list. How should I preface this? I want to see what you guys say. So I'm going to say what it is, okay? And then I want you guys to tell me what you think of the pick, and then I can elaborate as to why I put it on there. It is Sweet Dreams by Marilyn Manson. It is my number three.
Oh, the Eurythmics yes. The cover of the Eurythmics. Yes.
How do you feel about me putting that on this list before I...
Listen, you could put any song by Marilyn Manson on this list. It doesn't matter.
You're really good.
Honestly, you pick any You're song.
You're really good.
I love the Eurythmics version, and he creeps it up sufficiently. So.
Pete, what do you think?
I like that.
Pete, what do you think?
It's a good song. You know, Marilyn Manson does a lot of 80s covers now that I think about it.
He does.
You know, because you just mentioned I Put a Spell on You. I don't know if I heard his version, but yeah, Sweet Dreams is obviously a great song.
He also did a cover of Tainted Love that I thought was really good.
That's right. And, that was on Not Another Teen Movie.
That's right. And not only that, we were just talking about This Is Halloween. He did a cover of that a few years ago as well.
From
Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, he does like a hard rock version of it. But okay, Sweet Dreams. Okay, first of all, I knew this, but I kind of had forgotten about it. And when I was making this list a few days ago, I was like, oh yeah, shit, I forgot about that. But in 2010, Billboard Magazine for Halloween did a top 10 of the scariest music videos of all time. And they rated this music video as the number one scariest music video of all time.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
So I went back and watched it because I remember in the 90s when it was on heavy rotation on MTV. And, you know, I was kind of into the whole goth grunge thing. So I was kind of into Manson. I still am, to be honest with you. But I definitely loved him back in the 90s. So just the whole shock rock thing that he was doing. And kind of like a new wave Ozzy, if you will, back in the 90s. But I didn't... think of it as a scary video, so I went back and watched it, and it's just so creepy, man. I mean, kind of like Imran said, I mean, Marilyn Manson doing anything is really creepy. I mean, you know, him eating a bowl of Fruit Loops, you'd be creeped out, you know what I mean? But it's just him kind of wandering around this kind of what looks like an abandoned asylum, and, you know, he's got the band there with him, and they're all creepy too, of course. And it's like a Corpse Bride is in the background, and there's this really kind of like funhouse mirrors kind of like camera shots, and it's nothing really happening. It's just them performing the song, but it is very eerie. And I can imagine watching that in the 90s in the dark. It would be kind of creepy, especially if you didn't know anything about Manson and you just kind of turned it on. The song is very kind of, you know, it's kind of, if you listen to the lyrics, it could be seen as a little frightening as well. And kind of like gut punch, you know, the lyrics of that tune. But kind of like Imran said, he just really creeped it up. It was produced by Trent Reznor. I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Nice.
Of
Nine Inch Nails.
He's really smart. I didn't really fully appreciate Manson until I saw him, like, interviewed and heard him talk. Like, the dude is smart.
Oh, yeah.
He knows
Absolutely.
What he's doing. He knows his brand. He knows his image. He knows his audience. He knows how to push buttons.
Absolutely.
But, like, it's all an act, and it's all but it's so well done.
Yeah, but I would urge you, because, you know, everybody knows the Eurythmics version, right? So they know kind of, I won't say poppy version, but it's definitely a lot more upbeat than Manson's. So everybody knows that, and anybody could sing that song, and if they hear it on the radio, they're like, oh, Eurythmics, you know, I know the Sweet Dreams are made of this. Like, yeah. So to hear the way that song starts with Manson with just a single guitar and then him kind of whispering, almost like he's literally in a straitjacket being held in captivity. He's like whispering this song to you. It's just really creepy, man. And I was listening to it on my headphones the other night, and I'm like, wow, this shit is scary. So the song itself, you don't think it's scary, but his version, in my opinion, fits with the season, and I throw it on every Halloween playlist I make. So Marilyn Manson, Sweet Dreams is my number three.
Nice.
Dig it.
And that's going to take us around to our runner-ups, guys. So let's get into our number twos, which is going to be Imran up first, man.
Number two. All right. This one comes from, I'm also an 80s child. I'm much the same age as all you guys. And this one's a one-hit wonder from the early 80s with a famous, mysterious backing vocal on the chorus. The song is Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Yes.
And the minute, so when I was a kid, look, I love Michael Jackson growing up. When I was a kid, the minute I heard the song, I was like, that's fucking Michael Jackson singing the chorus. He's not credited anywhere. And for years, like, it's like, was that really Michael Jackson?
Right.
Nobody. But apparently, it's Michael and Jermaine singing the hook. So it's like Rockwell was Pitbull before Pitbull. Mm-hmm. He just got some famous guy to do the hook while he did. And he's not. First of all, watch this video. The video is hilarious.
Yeah,
he's in the shower most of the time.
It is, yeah.
Bathing. And he's not a very good singer. He's just kind of talking. He's not really singing.
Yeah.
I always remember the video creeped me out because there was like weird things in it. Can you imagine the recording session with Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Michael, we need one. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Give us a hee-hee and give us a oh. Okay, and you're done. Here's your check.
I think
that would have been it.
I think they were friends, right? They were like childhood friends, Rockwell and.
Who the fuck is Rockwell?
I don't know. I think they like went to school together. So I feel like I remember reading that. Pete, do you know the story behind that? I feel like Rockwell.
Not at all.
Okay, I feel like Rockwell was friends with the Jacksons, which is weird. In their teenage years, and then Michael was like, "I'll sing the chorus for you," and he was like, "All right, cool." I don't know if he even was supposed to make any money off that song. I think he was just doing it for a friend of his. But that song is good, man. And it's a song about paranoia, right? It's a song about being paranoid.
It's just also a lot like My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me. Someone's always watching me. I don't think they were ever credited in the song.
Right.
But I like how they just came out and said that was Michael Jackson in that Simpsons episode. That was another thing for years where it was a different name and he didn't know, but I think they finally came out and said, yes, that was, of course it was Michael.
Yeah.
Or someone doing a really good Michael impersonation.
That is a great tune, man. That's on my honorable mentions as well. I love that song.
Yeah, great song. I want to give a little shout out to Master P who sampled that song too. And I had a phase where I just loved No Limit. So I dig Master P's version.
Absolutely, man. No Limit was the jam back in the day, brother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's your number two, Pete?
All right, my number two, the very first time I heard this was in a movie that I love, and I wish I watched it a little bit more often, especially around Christmas time, because it's a thriller. But I think most people will know this song if they have a fever, and the remedy is more cowbell. I'm talking about Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yes. Great
by
song.
Blue Oyster Cult. So, you know, originally I was going to go with like a cover that was more slowed down, but I like the OG version. It's a great song. The first time I heard it was on Frighteners. The Frighteners Michael J. Fox. It plays at the very end. Yeah. Love that movie. You got Jake Busey in there. I'm blanking on the mom's name from E.T., but she's in there as well. Great thriller. If anybody hasn't seen it, check it out. Early Peter Jackson.
Definitely a good song, and it's also one of my honorable mentions. So not crossovers on the top five, but you guys are mentioning a lot that are on my list here, so that's awesome.
You know, I think that
I got a fever.
I think I saw somebody say that it just turned 17 or something like that. Like it is an old ass skit now. Yeah.
Wow. I love how that song just has like it changes to like a different movement.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole. It's just like and then it just goes off. Great pick. I thought about that one too. That's definitely Halloween. Halloween.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's on. You guys ever played Guitar Hero? Because I think it was on there as well, but kind of what you're saying, Ron, like that song, it just changes. It's like a completely different song, and then you're playing like a different guitar melody. Like, what is this?
My game glitched. What the hell is going on? All right, so my number two. Okay, so my number two and my number one guys are pure Halloween, pure, you know, fall, Halloween, autumn, just synonymous with that season, but I don't care. I love these songs. They will be at the top of every Halloween playlist I ever make from now until the day I die. My number two, or the runner-up, is also one of my favorite movies, period. It would probably be my top 10 movies of all time. It's definitely one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I've already mentioned The Shape, Michael Myers, who is probably my favorite horror villain of all time, but it is the theme from Halloween from 1978, composed by John Carpenter. An instrumental piece of music, right? No lyrics.
Yeah.
Very creepy, very scary. And we actually talked about this recently because I named this as one of my favorite opening credit sequences in a movie as well. Because the opening scene to this, the first time anybody ever heard this song back in 1978, it's just a jack-o'-lantern on screen for 3 minutes. Just the light flickering inside the jack-o'-lantern, and it's just staring at the audience as this creepy music is playing over it.
Yeah, yeah,
And it kind of peers into your soul a little bit. And you, I don't care what you guys say, if you hear that piece of music from John Carpenter, you immediately think Halloween, you immediately think jack-o'-lanterns, you immediately think slashers killing people, you just, whatever you think about. And it's that song is just latched onto that bit of kind of lore. For the month of October. It was really hard, actually, to not put this one at number one, to be honest with you. But the theme song from Halloween from 1978, John Carpenter, is my number two.
Dude, if you were in a forest at night and you heard that fucking music, I would shit my pants right there. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, this is not good.
Just kill me. I'm done. This is not good for me.
Or just kill me now. I can't take this.
This is not good for me. Pete, you cool with that?
Great, yeah. Great song. If there was going to be any instrumental, it was going to be the Halloween theme song for sure.
Yeah.
It's got a great tempo. And, you know, you're right. It there's a unsettling, you know, tempo to it. And I agree. You know, you're in the forest by yourself and all of a sudden your ringtone plays this. You might as well shit your pants and kill yourself.
Yeah.
Also, if you're in the forest and you hear this, jump, jump, jump.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go, go, go. Fucking run. Yeah. Just drop what you're doing. Get the fuck out.
Oh, man.
That's not going to be
good. I agree. All right. That was my number two, guys. All right. So we're up to our number ones. Okay. So you guys ready? So I don't know. We're going to let Imran go first, and we'll see what happens, Pete. I'm wondering if we have the same number one, or at least two out of three of us do. I don't know. Imran, what do you got, man? What's your number one?
We probably do, because look, this might is really obvious, really cliche. I just said I was a huge Michael Jackson fan. Of course, I gotta put Thriller from 1984 from Michael Jackson. Reasons. First of all, I was like 8 years old when this came out. I remember I made my parents buy me the vinyl of Thriller, and I remember opening it up and looking at Michael with the tiger in the white suit, and I'm like, the shit is this? Why does he have a tiger? But then Friday Night Videos was where you saw it before MTV, before any kind of music video. Friday Night Videos at NBC. I made my dad stay up and videotape the premiere of the video because I wanted to see it so badly.
Sure.
The next morning, he's like, well, I don't know. It's a little scary. I don't know if you can take it. And man, I wore that tape out. Nobody had ever. This is the first time you saw a movie set to an amazing song with amazing makeup and effects and choreography. And then Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Vincent, horror icon Vincent Price doing that ending. Like, it's still an amazing song. It's so, the video is great. John Landis, right, you know, coming off of American Werewolves in London.
Yeah.
It's still, I love it still.
I love it too, man. Pete, is this your number one or you got something different?
Yeah, I have something different. This is a great one. I purposely left this off my list because it was just way too obvious, and it's totally cool. I mean, this you know, you talked about the music video and how it's like a movie. I credit the Thriller music video for getting me into loving behind the scenes and supplemental material when it comes to stuff like that. Because for whatever reason, we had the music video on tape, but also the making of it. You know, so
I had that too. Yes, I would watch that over and over again. I remember that.
So I would watch that over and over. You know, that's one of those tapes that, you know, the cliche goes, I wore the tape out. So Michael Jackson is my all-time favorite musician, artist. I love him to death. Thriller isn't, you know, one of my favorite of his just because he has so many. But, you know, there's no disputing this is one of his greatest. And also the iconic dance. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I loved in the video where he would turn into a zombie and then he would turn back into Michael Jackson for the singing parts. And then he would turn into zombie Michael
Jackson.
Weird. Yeah, it was a little weird. It was hilarious.
Do you, either of you guys play the Michael Jackson Experience on the Wii or PlayStation or anything like that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
You got to hit those moves and everything. Yeah. You got to do all those poses, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you get to hit those moves. That's so I tried learning.
A lot of cross grabbing or no?
Yeah, there's a few. Each other's, you know, that, whatever.
You get bonus power-ups with the contract.
That's just good.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, Thriller's my number one. Do you want me to just... let me just say a couple quick things, and then, Pete, I'll let you reveal your number one. So, I agree with everything you guys just said. Imran is also my number one. I mean, first of all, I mean, it's Michael Jackson. So, literally, you've got... What do you got? You got Elvis, you got Michael, and you got maybe the Beatles. I mean, I don't know.
Prince.
Prince. I mean, there's like maybe five artists that would fit into what I would call the realm of Michael Jackson. I mean, he's just on a whole other level and always will be. I mean, he is going to defy time. He's going to live forever. This song is, like Pete said, not his greatest song, but I mean, it is obviously an homage to horror and to, you know, zombie and to the Halloween season and all the different things that we think about. You know, you already mentioned John Landis. I mean, the fact that they went natural with the special effects, of course they had to because it's in the early 80s, but you know, this was like a mini 80s horror movie. You know, this soundtrack or this video.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
And that was just so crazy to me because I was coming of age when this came out. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I started getting into the 80s horror movies, and this was really the first one I saw. So when people ask me, you know, Justin from the Epic Film Guys and I were chatting, and he's like, you know, what's the first like horror movie that, you know, you remember really, you know, being into? And for me, it was Thriller. I look at Thriller as a mini horror movie. It's a mini zombie movie. And
I mean, legit movie quality effects that John Landis brought.
Absolutely.
There was some good scares. And then the, you know, you always love the little tag piece because you're like, wow, what did that really happen to that? And Michael turns and you see his eyes. It's like a little post-credit scene. It's so great.
It's awesome, man. And Pete mentioned the dancing that has become synonymous, and you know, everybody knows that little number. I mean, you know, my son's 5 and he knows this song. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's just it will always transcend genres. It'll just go on from generation to generation, I feel like. And I think,
and we never would have had the Michael Jackson eating popcorn gif that you can throw up whenever you're watching the conversation. You're crazy amazing. On Facebook.
That is the best one.
Yes, continue, please. Yeah, just eat the popcorn.
Please. This is gonna be great.
Gerald, did you ever watch the behind the scenes, the making of video?
You know what? I feel like I have seen that because when you guys said that, it kind of jarred a little memory, but I don't remember it well enough. But I feel like
reason I asked. It's really funny to watch. You know. Michael Jackson being directed to raise his hand up, you know, and he's supposed to be screaming, but it's Michael Jackson, you know, so he's got his high voice.
and then they cut it,
you know, and he's got like the demonic voice. So it's really funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to check that out now because I feel like I've seen that. It's probably just been so long, I just can't remember it. But just awesome,
sure,
man. You know, now this is the song, right? We're doing songs. We're not doing videos. But I mean, that's just why it's my number one, because I feel like that was the first quote horror movie I saw, and to me it was a horror short film. And obviously it's just a great song playing over it as well. So that's my number one. Pete, do you want to give us what you decided on for your number one, man?
Yeah. So far, Imran and I, we've crossed with the, I'll put a spell on you. You and him crossed with number one here, Michael Jackson. Gerald, I think it's about time you and I, we cross. So my number one has been mentioned. It is actually Marilyn Manson's Sweet Dreams.
Hey. Oh, sweet. Wow. I was wondering why you weren't quite as vocal on why I picked it, but I guess you were in agreement with me. So
yeah,
absolutely. Go ahead, man. What was your reasoning for putting it up there?
You know, I love music. That's my first love. You know, I feel it's a lot of people's first love, probably. You know, you hear music before you start watching movies and comprehending and stuff like that. So what I love about the Marilyn Manson cover is just how he slows down that tempo, you know, and just that little bit there makes that song even creepier. You know, you take away the lyrics, but just the way it starts off, like you mentioned, the guitar and the whisper, there's something haunting about it. And I just, I eat it up. There was a show on, I think it was on CBS. It lasted one season that I enjoyed. It wasn't good, but I watched it. Because it was created by Kevin Williamson. I think that's his name, you know, who did Scream and all of those movies. Well, it's called Stalker, or I think it's called Stalker. Yeah. And so, you know, it's about a group of, I don't know, they're detectives or what, but, they investigate stalker cases, whatever. But every episode ends with like a pop song, a cover of a pop song that they, you know, make like a haunting version of it. You know, for example, I think I Started a Joke was one by the Bee Gees, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was a girl singing it and it was slowed down. It was just really haunting. So I love covers when they do stuff like that. So Marilyn Manson,
I agree.
When I first heard Sweet Dreams, I was like, oh my, this is amazing. Not only is that a great 80s song, it's a great song, period. And I just love Sweet Dreams. It's one of my favorite 80s songs of all time.
That's cool, man. And the song aside, and like we already kind of said when we mentioned him earlier, Marilyn Manson is like a Halloween mascot. I mean, he's like wandering the streets just being as fucking evil and creepy and as he can, you know. So, but hey, obviously I agree with it. I'm surprised that you put it at number one, but I'm glad that we had that little bit of crossover there.
Yeah, awesome, it's guys. Just... I think the difference is maybe, I mean, Don't Fear the Reaper, I think is, I think they're tied, honestly, because those two songs I can listen any time of day throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. All right, I tell you what, so that's our top five, guys. There you go. So now we did have a little bit of crossover, but we could probably end up with 12 or 13 songs that we just listed for everybody to have just a spectacular Halloween playlist. I think they should get on Spotify and make that happen. You guys want to do a few honorable mentions? Imran, did you have any that you want to mention today that did not get mentioned yet?
Oh, yeah. This one I was going to put at five, and I was flip-flopping, and it was a really hard decision. But The Killing Fields by Echo and the Bunnymen, which, if you think of Donnie Darko, how they use it in that. And just, like, the way it opens with discordant notes.
That's The Killing Moon, right?
Oh, sorry. The Killing Moon. Not The Killing Fields. Yeah. Killing Moon. Echo and the Bunnymen. But it's a haunting song.
Yeah.
And then you think of Donnie Darko and the rabbit, the creepy rabbit costume.
Yeah.
A couple of my other honorable mentions were kind of cliche, like Ghostbusters.
Sure.
Great.
Sure. Yeah.
Song, Ray Parker Jr.
Absolutely.
And then I had Werewolves in London, Warren Zevon. Just, I love the Warren Zevon. Wasn't really scary. And then we were talking about Kanye before we started recording.
Monster.
But Monster, Kanye completely lost his mind.
Jay-Z.
That's a great song.
Thing.
That whole album is great.
Yeah, it's a great tune too, man. That one actually is on my honorable mentions as well. All right, Pete, did you have any honorables, man?
Yeah, I got a few. Monster, just mentioned there. Let's see, what was it? Fame Monster by Lady Gaga. You know, a little dance song there. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I also had Are You Ready for Freddy by the Fat Boys.
I didn't. How do I not know about this song?
Was it the end of part four? I think it was.
Right.
I think it was part four.
It was on the soundtrack. Wow.
It was on the soundtrack. Yeah. Even the music videos featuring Freddy. And I think Freddy's got a couple of lines himself. Black Magic Woman, that might be a bit of a stretch, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Now,
that's definitely a good one.
Now, this was a song, the beat really creeped me out when I was in middle school. This isn't really, it's not a Halloween song at all, but the story that's being told and the music behind it, always gave me that creep factor. And it's actually Snoop Dogg's Murder Was the Case. You know, he even talks to like the devil at one point. But, you know, I think if people kind of go back and listen to it, I think you guys would understand why I put that on the honorable mentions. Yeah.
That's a good one, Calvin Brodus, man. All right. So let's see. You guys mentioned a bunch of mine. So let me go down here and see the ones that did not get mentioned. So from 1966, Donovan, Season of the Witch.
That's a great one. I had that momentarily. It's a great song.
Love that tune. Obviously, the Monster Mash. I can't believe. I thought
that was just. It was so obvious. And that was
Yeah, it was obvious. But the Monster Mash. People Are Strange by The Doors.
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that one.
The Faces in the Rain, man. You got to be careful out there. Let's see. Psycho Killer by The Talking Heads.
Yes, great
from
song.
From the 80s. And we were talking about...
That's about like a serial killer, like from the point of view of a serial killer, right?
Right, yep.
That's great.
We were talking about kind of the Eurythmics and kind of just 80s music in general, but if you think about the lyrics in this respect, Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Stalker. Another stalker.
I'll be watching you, yeah.
It's a little stalkery. It's like somebody's watching me. It's the other side of the Rockwell
exactly,
story.
Exactly, that's right.
Actually, it was Sting watching Rockwell the whole time. We've just solved the mystery.
In the shower. What the hell?
They're watching each other.
Why are you still bathing Rockwell? It's been 3 minutes.
There's a tune from the 90s that kind of got made popular when Scream blew up in 96, but a song called Red Right Hand by Nick Cave. It's a very haunting tune. It's basically also about a serial killer.
Speaking of Scream, Master P did a song called Scream, I think, for the second movie as well.
Oh, he did. You're right. I remember that now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Scream 2. Yep, you're right. And then the last one that no one mentioned, because nobody probably knows what it is, but one of my favorite rock bands ever is the Deftones. They've been around since the early 90s, but Chino of the Deftones had a side project called Team Sleep. In the mid-2000s, they only put out one album, and it's like a heavy metal kind of group, but this particular song is very slow and actually very Sweet Dreams-ish, Marilyn Manson's version, but it's a song called The Tomb of Ligeia, which is basically a song paying homage to Edgar Allan Poe and to a story he wrote called Ligeia. It's a story about a mad scientist whose wife dies, and he creates a tomb for his wife and buries her, only to find out that she's still alive, and he buries her alive.
Whoa.
And
wow.
she comes back to haunt him, is the story that Poe tells. And this song is kind of a musical kind of reinvention of that story. So it's a very creepy song. If you guys want to look up Team Sleep's Tomb of Ligeia, it's a good Halloween tune. All right, so that's it, guys. I really can't thank Pete and Imran enough for being here. I want these guys to tell everyone where they can find them. Imran, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you, brother?
I just realized they pick a Fat Boy song over a Fresh Prince song.
Yeah, I know.
What is this shit? Yeah. Who is the producer that made this stupid decision?
And the Fresh
Where
Prince
are the Fat
one,
Boys now?
Much better.
Yeah. You should have went with the Freddy song. And anyways, you can find more of my rantings on comic book and superhero TV and movie news on the Jock and Nerd podcast. JockandNerd.com. You can find us everywhere. Podcasts are found. I have a co-host who's a jock. I am the nerd. And then there's a puppet. I'll just leave it at that.
You're not the
and
jock, Imra?
I'm not the jock and I'm not the puppet, although I do look like a puppet.
Cool, man. I really appreciate you being here as always. I'm sure you'll be back sooner than later, man. Absolutely. Pete, where can they find you, man?
All right. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Podstalgic for my movie review podcast. Gerald, you joined me for Stand By Me, still one of my biggest episodes ever. And you mentioned it earlier. I do cover Cobra Kai on a show called Cobra Kai Companion. My co-host Tom from Jake and Tom Conquer the World. You know, we're doing big things over at that show. I know Cobra Kai is very underseen. It is on YouTube Premium, but the first two episodes are free. That's the way they're going to try to get you in. You know, start that trial for 30 days, binge it, 10 episodes, 5 hours, only 30 minutes each episode. So, Gerald.
I will highly recommend, dude, Gerald, watch it. It's amazing. It is how you like bring something updated that you loved in the past, but how to do it properly. I loved every second of it. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, I really just like want
it,
to, man.
You know, so if you enjoyed it, they did the same way they did. You know, it's just it's a great formula. Also, at this the time of this recording, we've interviewed 15 of the cast members, including Martin Cove. I think this episode, but I think when this episode comes out, we'll probably already have this other interview released, which is Sean Kanan from Karate Kid Part 3, aka the bad boy of karate.
The show has made me realize that Danny Russo is a little prick.
Yeah.
I'm a totally team Johnny because Danny just came in, beat him up, took his girlfriend. What is this? Come on.
Yeah. Well, Pete,
there's a lot of heart to it. Yeah.
You got to end over there at Cobra Kai, man. So make sure you drop two P's next time, okay? Tell them to listen to the top five or something. guys, I thank you so much. That's it this time, man. So for Pete Emron, this is Gerald signing off of this two-piece bonus episode. We'll see you soon. Stay spooky out there, guys. All right.
Ooh.
Happy Halloween. Happy October. Thanks so much, you two.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.